All right, here we go. We are rolling. It is time for another episode of The Ticket Studs. Today, we're going to be drafting 1995. Littell, how old were you in 95? Negative two?
I was not even a thought.
Draft order today. I am in the one spot, Arvin in the two spot, Salemi at three, Littell on the turn at four. You guys ready for this?
No.
So excited ready. For your picks?
For those of you who don't know, this is our first AM recording, by the way.
That's Election Day special, if you will.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
We'll see how America rolls out. Right,
we got to wrap this up by 6 p.m.
We should have done some sort of like election day.
Because that's when the purge starts.
Right. If we were going to do that, I mean, none of us thought about doing this on election day. But if we were, we could have done like best conspiracy government films or something like that.
Or just political thrillers in general.
Right. All right.
Next time for sure.
Eyes like of Borat. March, number one.
Like Borat.
Next time for sure.
That would be funny to try to draft the comedy category in the political thriller draft. All right. I'm up. Number one pick. This sucks. I do not want the number one pick.
I did.
Said no one ever.
Take Jaws.
I really truly don't. Because these categories are... All right. I'm just going to go with my Oscar pick to start, and I'm going to go with the movie Seven.
Okay.
Oh, I don't like your strategy.
Sorry.
Wait till we get to my pick.
I'm pretty sure that would not have made it back to me since there are so many picks in between. But such a great movie. I mean, everything surrounding it, it's quotable, you know, what's in the box. Kevin Spacey, unfortunately, that's what he turned into.
Right.
I mean, he's not a serial killer, but obviously not a good dude.
That we know of.
That we know of, yeah. But such a great role by him. And this is cool. I mean, obviously, I didn't see it when it came out. I was seven.
Really?
Yeah, I was seven in 95.
I went to the movie theaters and watched it.
But he didn't promote it. He wasn't in the opening credits. Like, nobody really knew he was the guy until the end. You're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And the whole scene, the whole last 20 minutes of the movie is incredible.
So intense.
Dude, Morgan Freeman, perfect. Brad Pitt, perfect.
Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt together worked so well. Like, better than I ever thought it would.
Yeah. I wish they'd done more together.
Who was Brad Pitt's wife?
What's her name?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow,
No, that is a great... And I saw that in the theater. Part of the mystique about that movie, they did a great job of hiding who the killer was. You never saw him during the film until he turns himself in. The trailers didn't ruin it. The other thing, too, unless I'm mistaken about this, you never know what city they're in. Like, it's a nameless city. There's no reference. There's no identifying feature. It's constantly rainy. Like, the setting of the city is the same day after day after day throughout that thing. It's always dark, dreary, and rainy.
It's just a city in decay.
Right.
Is how they... Yeah. Show it, yeah.
What a great premise for the movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then they never show any of the actual killings.
Which is way worse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like,
so worse.
I remember when Morgan Freeman is talking about the lawyer sitting there sweating through his suit trying to figure out what pound of flesh you cut off and still survive. And obviously, the lust thing,
we don't have to go through that.
Yeah. But the way that they did it was really, they always described the setting, and then it was just left to your imagination.
Yeah, was it Sloth or one of them?
Sloth.
They found was still alive.
Yeah. The guy had been chained to the bed for like a year.
For somebody who doesn't like jump scares, I really like that one. That one was nuts. That's John C. McGinley, too.
Really? Wow.
My bad. He's the FBI guy. He's the SWAT guy.
I thought he was.
Like, that's crazy for him.
Like, that makeup went wild.
The doctor says something like, if you showed a flashlight at him right now, he might die of shock or something like that. It's like, oh, okay.
All right, Arvin, in the two spot, you're up.
All right, I am also going to start with my Oscar pick, and I'm going to go with The Usual Suspects.
Ooh, Salemi, sucks.
I love that movie.
I do, too. And I went with a slightly different way of ranking this time. So I kind of picked everything into categories like I usually do, and then I kind of was like, all right, I'm going to rank everything where I think I should take it because I don't want Alien to happen again. So with my ranking, I went with the usual suspects at the top of the list. That reveal, I think, is one of those like cinematic moments where like there's this twist and you probably didn't see it coming, and then in retrospect it's like, oh. And then you rewatch the movie and it makes even more sense and you're like, oh. It gets better every time you watch it, I think, too. So, yeah, I feel like I just notice new things every time I go back to it. And it is one of those movies where you can go back to it and watch it again and again and again and always get something else out of it. Yeah, I mean, it's got all the things.
It was really difficult. It was between Usual Suspects and Seven.
Yeah.
Those were the top two. I was like, I keep going back and forth. Yeah. They're so both 100%. So great.
And that's
and it's
when
Kevin
he picked Seven, I was like, all Kevin right, Spacey. Well, there it is.
Yeah, yeah. Why did Kevin Spacey have to be turn out to be an ass?
Right. He's such a good movie villain.
Like, yeah.
God. Yeah.
There's also,
that is the one thing that makes it harder
in.
To rewatch now. It's like, I forget. Yeah, well, okay.
This movie has one of my favorite movie trivia things about, like, their lineup scene. Mm-hmm. I guess Benicio del Toro was just, like, farting the whole time.
It's supposed to be, like, this dramatic moment.
But it makes it so good.
The outtakes of that. Have you seen those?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's so funny.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Also, just like the scene at the end of him starting to walk normally again, like gives me chills
every time, right?
Light
like,
up the cigarette,
like they do that so well too. Like, oh, he got away with it, you know? Like, just
And some reveals are real ham-handed and cheesy when they're like revealing
things. They like hit you
things,
over the head with it.
But this one is done to perfection.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It is. Well, as he's figuring out and he's looking at the board and he's thinking back to the conversation, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
A tribute to how good Spacey is, he goes from being this simple-minded, kind-hearted, easy guy to manipulate to a dangerous-looking villain, and all he did was physically just,
the presence.
Changed his movement. And,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, that is pretty wild that he was able.
Yeah.
Because when he gets in the car, he's lighting up. Oh, you are the bad guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're not. What was his name?
Oh, like the villain name?
No,
you're Kaiser Soze. You're not.
His like simple.
Yeah. Dribble or it was
something like that.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Holy shit. But yeah. Anyway, he changes like that. All right.
You're up.
I'm kind of surprised by your guys'.
I am too. Please don't do this.
Blockbuster is like, there's nothing there. I would have taken Seven for Blockbuster because there's other Oscars. And because I really do like this movie, and I saw it at the theater and went in with no expectations, completely blown away by the cutting edge change in direction for this genre of film.
And he's taking the cutting edge.
I am taking for my Blockbuster
Toy
Story.
There it is.
Bye, Littell.
I have no choice,
FYI,
really.
Littell had already removed his headset and prepared to walk out when Toy Story was taken. And he is gone. Like,
what?
He has left the studio.
He'll return.
I hope.
His hoodie's here.
If he doesn't, I'll pick for him.
I'll bet I know what he's going to have to probably take for Blockbuster. Mm. Yeah, first off, I don't understand. Someone needs to explain to me what happened in 1995 for economics in the world of economics, because there's literally, 10, 15 Blockbusters to pick from?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is surprising.
Just 10.
10.
Yeah.
And in the 90s, the economy was booming. So I was kind of surprised by that. But yeah, there's not a lot out there. Toy Story's a phenomenal movie. I don't know if it would have been number one I pick.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel I have to. It's funny. It's endearing. Like, the movie is fantastic and just completely blown away by the animation. Went in not expecting what I was in store for.
It might still be one of the funniest animated movies I've ever seen. Like,
it's one of the best. Yeah, it's one of the funniest.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah.
I still think
hilarious.
2 is the best one, but the first Toy Story to me is the funniest by far.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many good jokes.
The army soldiers radioing back what toys are being opened. It's all very, I think, unfortunately, now we sort of take for granted that Pixar is going to do something unique, cutting edge, mm-hmm. funny, blah, blah, blah. But that was their first endeavor. That was their first introduction to all of us. And it was, like, I just remember when I walked out of the theater, Marie and I saw it, just the people around me, like, everybody was talking, like, oh my God, what is this? What did they do? Like, was it hand? That can't be hand drawn. Like, this, just these conversations around and people talking about it was CGI, which I was like, what the hell is CGI? Right. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and it is. It's a good movie. It's a funny movie. It's a touching movie. Yeah, liked it a lot.
My favorite part of the whole thing is when Buzz is so defeated and he's just like chilling in the sister's room in the dress having the tea party.
Yeah.
I like when the shark. So funny. I like when the shark gets the cowboy hat and he's like, "I'm Woody. Howdy, 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 howdy." I could not stop laughing at that when I was a kid.
Oh man, I feel like the thing that Pixar does that really makes them amazing is the worlds that they create.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the fact that it's such a deep idea to begin with, like toys come to life, which had been done before, right? Like it wasn't like that was necessarily a unique idea, right? I mean, yeah.
Toy soldiers.
But they just created such a good universe within that. Like, I mean, the Pizza Planet thing and like the kid next door that's a terror and like all of that. Mm-hmm. And you just create this world that you can grow up in, and then they did, right?
The
like
they claw. Did with all that.
Right?
The aliens in the claw.
Like there's all these different little cultures amongst the toys. I think that to me is amazing that they were able to pull that off. And then they were like, hey, the technology's cool. And the technology was amazing. Like seeing fully realized CG cartoons basically was really cool. But man, the world building I just thought was spot on. Like that was awesome.
Also perfectly voice casted. Like Tom Hanks and Tim Allen destroying that movie. Yeah. Like
but everybody down the way, like, you got John Ratzenberger, and it's like, oh, he's great too. Like,
he was. When did the streak end for him, by the way? Because he was in every single Pixar movie, but I think the streak ended.
It had to be like semi recently.
I would think. Yeah, that's a good question.
All right, Littell, you've got two picks.
What's the point, guys?
What's the point? Your blockbuster, baby. Even if you're gonna feel a little defeated, I understand. But there's still a good blockbuster out there.
Yeah, there is, and I'll take it. I'm going to go Blockbuster, and I'm going to go Apollo 13, because, man, what a movie.
Yeah.
I saw that movie, man, how old was I? I was obviously way later. I was probably like 8 or 9, so 2006, 7. Gripped me the whole time. Like, as soon as they are coming back from the moon and everything is, like, hitting the fan, I just, like, could, like, how long is this movie?
It's definitely a couple hours.
2 hours and 20 minutes. It is. Yeah. It feels like an hour and a half. Like, the last, like, 60-50 minutes of that movie are gripping. As like, I mean, you know they're gonna make it back, but like I didn't know how. Like it's into my 8 or 9 year old brain, I was like, how are people this smart? Like, how are you so smart to figure like exactly the amount of energy you need to like shut off all these systems? You'll have just enough air, you're coming in hot, like let's get it done.
Coming in hot.
I mean, it's just so well. Like Tom Hanks is incredible, but so is everyone else in that movie. I'm struggling. Who else is in that movie?
Kevin Bacon.
Gary Sinise.
Love Gary Sinise.
He's really good in that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was he the one back in Houston?
Yeah,
he was supposed to be on.
Yeah.
And couldn't.
And how clutch, right? How clutch that he ended up having to stay back.
Because
probably they would have all died. Like,
who else was in the shuttle? Because there's another big, it was Bacon, Hanks
and
Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
I was about to say his name, and then I was like questioning it. Like, is it?
That's disrespectful.
I knew it was someone that, like, I could see it in my head, but like, there was no way I was coming up with the name. Sorry, guys. Yeah, no, they laid a blueprint for other movies on how to sort of create space drama.
Yeah.
And The Martian, there's a lot of similar elements.
Yeah.
That whole someone's in space and someone's in ground control and going back and forth. Yeah, I mean, they do a great job of building up the drama and solving one problem and, oh, now there's another problem. And it's a really good film. And I did not want to watch Apollo 13. I thought I was going to be bored to tears.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like more of a, I mean, it is kind of documentary based, but it's well acted that like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm such a space nerd. I was very excited to watch it. Like in the trailer, you're like, see that Saturn V rocket like take off. And I was like, I'm in. Okay. Don't get. And it's, oh, it's Tom Hanks.
When you also realize.
In the middle of like an amazing run.
Yeah.
I mean, like his 93 to.
He owned the 90s.
Oh, my God. I mean, just fantastic. So, yeah, I was very excited about it. And it's one of those where, you know, I was probably so excited that it should have let me down and it didn't at all. Like, I love that movie.
But I think you also learned to appreciate just how, like, what's the word I want to use? Like medieval almost, our technology was then. And like how flimsy all of this really is. Like,
and how it really relied on people working together.
Yeah.
Right? Like that was the thing. Like without that team, like working together, they all would have died.
Yeah, I mean, everyone 100%. Had to lock in.
100%. And like, and not just for like a couple like hours, like for days.
Yeah.
Just to get them home, right? Like, the dream of the moon is dead. Now we're working the problem. We're going to figure out how to get these guys back. And then did it. And it's just one of those moments where you're like, wow, we
human
did that.
Beings,
like, that was
dude.
So cool. Like, when we actually work together, we really can get some stuff done.
I don't want to go off on a sidetrack at all, but the like that will be lost on civilization with AI.
I was
like
thinking AI, the same thing.
Within seconds, yeah. AI will say, well, this is what you should do.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Everyone, go for coffee now. And then you just press buttons. I mean, yeah. That's cool, but it's also kind of, it reduces us.
Yeah. But there are bigger problems to figure out. But we can save this conversation for another time.
Yeah. Like I said, do you want, all right. Wait, what, and I apologize. You'll know the answer to this, I think. What happened to Gary Sinise? Why is it that I haven't seen him in anything recently? He's not dead, right?
No, he's not.
Okay.
Dead.
So I feel like he kind of went, he went from being out there a lot to all of a sudden I never see the dude in anything.
I feel like he's
sadly, I think a lot of it is like, he's older.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's part just... of it, he has a really bad reputation of being difficult to work with and a total a-hole.
Oh, really?
Oh, no kidding.
Like, there's a reason why he's in Tom Hanks movies, because they're pals and they talk about the war and stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I can't even think
really,
of the last movie
he's in.
He hasn't
been anything since 2020. 13 Reasons Why.
He was in that show?
His
really?
Last credit. Oh, no, Joe Bell. He was in something
was
called
he
Joe
acting
Bell.
Or directing?
Actor. I know
he, okay.
That's his last, his latest actor credit on IMDb.
Oh, Joe Bell. That's when Mark Wahlberg walks because his daughter got hit by a truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Littell, pick number two.
All right.
Ace Ventura?
No. close. I'm going to take my action drama thriller. I'm going to pick Goldeneye.
Oh, you son what I think of a...
Mm, dang it.
The first and best Pierce Brosnan James Bond movie. And by a lot. I don't think any of them are as good as this one.
Dang it.
Sean Bean as 006 is such a good villain. Mm-hmm. Might be like top five all time for me.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he's got personal motivation.
Yeah.
You get to learn a little bit more about the Liance Cossacks. Like, mm-hmm.
I love...
Cool.
Who's the female seductress spy in that movie?
Zinnia Onatopp?
Well, what's her actor? The actor's name?
Famke Janssen?
Yeah.
Famke Janssen?
Yeah. Yeah. He's good with the pronunciations.
Talk about a childhood
so
crush, man.
Oh, she's like, great.
Oh, my goodness.
And then she was Jean Grey in the X-Men.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Did she have something
she's
with
great.
She
Favreau.
Is great. John Favreau.
She's the girlfriend. She's the stripper girlfriend in... Right.
But, I mean, I feel like those two were connected in a couple different movies. Like, in real life, did they have a friendship or anything? Or
yeah, they were pals.
Okay, just, but that's it.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay.
I'll also say the fight scene at the end of this movie is one of the most thrilling, brutal, gritty fight scenes in any James Bond movie. Like, the fight and the satellite array, I mean, is awesome. And you can just see, like, both the respect and hatred every time they look at each other when they're running. Like, oh, it's so, so good.
For England, James.
Great, great James Bond movie.
I knew I didn't want the first pick. That sucks.
Yeah, I didn't want the second pick, it turns out, either.
Also, the video game that this movie spawned.
Gets two in a row.
The video game that this movie spawned.
Oh, the N64 game.
Incredible.
Chef's kiss.
Yep. The soundtrack
it's
alone.
So good. So blocky. You can play it now, and like kids still probably enjoy it because it looks like Minecraft.
It's good.
It's the same. So it's the same composer who did Leon the Professional.
Yeah.
That's why it sounds so similar. Those tubular.
Oh, that soundtrack is awesome, too.
Yeah. So let me back to you.
Tina Turner
See,
on the song.
Why I appreciate your, like, there's no way, there's no universe that I will ever live in where I would know that. I don't sit through the credits and I don't read the liner jacket of the DVD or anything like that.
You
so
have,
it's the same guy?
You have a loving family, wife and kids. I have none of that.
And I didn't when I was a sophomore in high school when it came out. So I looked at that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
That was a good pick. I hate you forever.
Yeah.
You're
for
welcome.
Real.
You were a sophomore in high school in 95?
Yeah. Sophomore in high school.
Damn. I am old on you guys.
Nah, no. Yeah. Come on.
All right.
Don't do that to yourself. Littell wasn't even born.
That's true.
All right. I am going to take my action drama thriller.
Oh, here
and
we go.
I am taking
the best
Heat.
Best shootout scene.
Heat.
It
ever.
Is the best shootout scene. My brother and I went to see this movie, and afterward, we probably talked about that shootout scene for a half an hour.
It's
just
so
how
long.
Realistic.
And like,
yes, it is a long shootout. It's like realistic. It,
yeah.
It's I mean, as realistic as it's going to get, but it wasn't one of these things where I'm going to shoot up the car, but nobody on the other side of the car will ever get hit.
Yeah, right? their car's just getting destroyed this whole time.
And obviously the big buildup of De Niro and Pacino doing a movie together and a scene together and all that sort of thing. Really, really good. Val Kilmer's in it.
Val Kilmer kills in that movie.
And his wife is from Kentucky. Why can't I think of her name? Big actress. You guys don't know. You do. When I figure out her name, she ran for Congress or was thinking about running for Congress.
Like his real life wife?
In the movie.
In the movie.
Val Kilmer's wife.
I can't think of the actress.
She is a big Kentucky Wildcat fan. She's from Kentucky.
Is she a Judd?
Ashley Judd.
Okay. I didn't remember which Judd. Yeah. Okay. I thought she was a Judd.
Yeah.
The CIA and the FBI, they use that shootout scene to show recruits.
Do they?
Val Kilmer said that's what he's like, one of the things he's most proud of in his career is they use that shootout scene to recruits to say, this is how it should look. This is how it's done. It's that realistic and well done.
Well, yeah. I thought
it feels that way.
I like the whole, you've got the criminal gang and watching them operate and how advanced thinking they are and researching, and then on the other side you got Al Pacino and his group. Like when Al Pacino and his group get together out in the middle of the docks trying to figure out, and he's like, oh, well done, they're spying on, they're taking photos of all of us right now and doing background on all of us like we have done on them.
Chills.
Yeah,
just thinking about that scene, he's like, God, he's so smart.
Yeah, how they time everything out. He's in a bunch of Quentin Tarantino movies. Madsen, is that his name?
Michael Madsen.
Yeah,
Michael
he's good in this film as well.
Or wait, are you thinking of Tom Sizemore?
That's what I'm thinking of. Thank you, buddy. Tom Sizemore. I leaned on you and you let me down, but I feel like I think I softballed it to you incorrectly.
Wasn't he in Black Hawk Down, too?
Tom Sizemore.
Everybody was in Black Hawk Down.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he's in Saving Private Ryan, too, right? That guy's just a good
Tom Sizemore.
Pearl Harbor. Yeah. Name a war movie.
Right, any movie with guns.
Does it have guns?
Right.
Put Sizemore in it.
He's in True Romance. Mm-hmm.
And Natural Born Killers as well, but you guys don't like that movie. I love that movie. You guys don't like that movie.
Is it Trabajo? Is that his name?
I've still not seen it.
You really?
In the movie?
Wow. No, I need to see a
Woody Harrelson movie.
Who gets beaten to a pulp because they're trying to find out info.
Trabajo? Danny Trejo?
Danny Trejo?
There you go.
Trabajo.
Of course, he's known for his work.
I knew I was wrong.
That's a good little Spanish
joke. I just didn't know how wrong I was. And then how they get revenge on the guy who sold them out.
At the end of the movie.
And he's like, I don't think you have time. I'll make time.
The movie's over. It's like, no, we got one more loose end.
Right.
I wish we could have seen Machete in theater with you.
Trabajo! Hey, give me some credit. I was on the right direction. Damn. I knew I was wrong. I just didn't know how wrong I was.
All right.
So, man. So with my next pick, Cash, I'm very sorry about this, but it is basically the last blockbuster that has any chance of like being fully redeemable, and so
Pocahontas?
No,
Casper.
So let me. Do you want to guess? Go ahead.
I'm going with Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh, that's nice, but no,
it's Jumanji. Jumanji.
Okay, I was wrong.
It's Jumanji.
Oh,
so because I know the love of Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I've got to take that there. I think I do love Die Hard with a Vengeance. I mean, because I'm a sucker for Christmas movies. But
thank you.
Take that, Miller.
I hope you listen to this, Miller.
I do, right? Exactly. Team Christmas movie the whole time.
Was that the third one? Was Samuel Jackson?
This is the one with Samuel Jackson with like the games around the city, basically, to distract the police.
Bruce Willis has to put on that sign, dude.
Yeah. Oh my God. Ugh. So, and if nobody takes that, I'll definitely take it later. But yeah, I think for my blockbuster, I got to go Jumanji.
Do you want to talk about Die Hard some more?
I didn't want to talk about it in the beginning.
I know.
I'm sorry. Okay. I thought that's what you were going
to say. No, that was a good guess, though. I mean, you know me well. That is in the heart as well. But yeah, I think I've got to go with Jumanji. Like, Robin Williams is just so fantastic in this movie as, like, the man cast out of time and, like, has been in the video or board game, this one, forever. And it's just, it's a movie that's so good they've remade it now and added to it. And I just
Do you like the remake?
I liked the first one a lot. I thought the next level was kind of meh.
How'd you feel about it?
I'm also a sucker for The Rock and Kevin Hart, too. I think those guys as a comedic pairing are pretty fantastic.
How'd you feel about Zathura?
I liked that. Yeah, okay. That's the too. Space one, right?
Yeah.
I liked that one. Is that Favreau as well?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Josh Hutcherson and all them.
Yeah. He's good at that. Very good at that. And I feel like Jumanji also kind of had like almost like sort of a Goonies sort of flair to it.
I'd
like
agree.
It feels like one of those Amblin kind of movies from the 80s. And I liked that vibe quite a bit with Jumanji as well, too. So just really loved it.
Did Favreau do Jumanji?
No.
He did
Zathura. Okay.
That's right.
Who did Jumanji, though? Connecting it.
I don't remember off the top of my head. Do you remember?
Steven Spielberg. I don't know.
It does feel George like it's Lucas? It feels like one of those produced by Steven Spielberg.
Is it
kind
Joe
of things,
Johnston?
Is it him, like from Rocket Man?
For some reason, sticks out in my mind.
Jake Kasdan and Joe Johnston.
I only know one Joe Johnston.
It's not Mike's brother.
Is that who it was?
Joe
Johnston,
yeah.
Ooh, from the top rope, baby.
Yeah, nailed that, yeah. That's amazing.
I struggle to say Steven Spielberg. And you got Joe Johnston on your Rolodex.
I mean.
All right.
Yeah. Got to start in ILM.
Yeah.
Worked on Star Wars.
Critics did not like the original Jumanji.
Did they not?
52%.
Yes.
Really?
Could have saved it for Rotten Tomatoes.
I would never have guessed. Like, I loved that movie as a kid.
It's got a lot of heart.
I think the first time I actually saw it was, did anybody ever go to the public libraries on movie days in the summertime?
Yeah, it was awesome.
My grandma, like, that was a thing that, like, she loved to do, was, like, pile the grandkids in the van, take us to the movies. And that's where I remember seeing this, and I just loved it. I was like, I was a kid still. I mean, sophomore in high school.
Did they have somewhat of a big screen that you were watching on?
So they had like a meeting room where it was probably, the screen was maybe a little bit bigger than like the pull down screens that we used to have here.
You
know? So not a huge screen, not great sound, nothing like that. But I mean, literally it was like, hey, let's go to the LGI room. And then like, hang out, and you could like spread out a blanket on the floor and bring snacks, and we did that and just watched Jumanji. And
one of the
great.
Worst double features I ever had. We watched Galaxy Quest, which was amazing, and then we watched That Darn Cat, which
that
was
That Darn Cat.
Awful.
Oh man,
is that so animated?
No, Christina Ricci, Dean Jones. It was pretty rough.
Huh. Okay, I missed
that. I remember seeing a trailer for that, but I never sat through it.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's your classic library.
People
movie right
love this darn cat movie you're talking about.
Did it do better than Jumanji at 52%?
94%.
Holy way.
It's got to be the original.
Oh, was there a remake?
I think so.
Okay, maybe it's
the original. Is this 96?
65 was
the original. Yeah, that's the original.
Okay.
That darn cat was probably like 98, 99, something
okay.
like that. Okay. Whew. Can't believe it didn't come up with the 99 draft. That's weird.
Next time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm up. I got two picks. This sucks, man.
Yep.
This really sucks.
Mm-hmm.
For my blockbuster, with joy in my heart, I am taking Batman Forever.
Woo!
I thought about taking Pocahontas, but I'm going to leave that for Littell for the soundtrack.
Okay. Aww, it is a nice. Really good soundtrack.
That should be a new category we have. Soundtrack.
You're taking this for blockbuster?
Yeah, Blockbuster's such a...
I mean,
there's nothing really
I don't know
left.
That there's much of a choice.
I would die hard. Pocahontas,
you know, because
Batman
somebody
Forever.
Took GoldenEye as an action thriller movie. Drama.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, that was very annoying.
Dude, I would take Casper over Batman Forever.
What?
Dude, this movie's... So, like,
what?
It's so bad, it's good. Like,
you're, are you, that's, this is Batman the, and Robin is bad. Batman Forever is good.
Oh, maybe I'm...
Batman Forever is Jim Carrey's the Riddler. With, Tommy Lee Jones is Two-Face.
Oh, yeah.
Drew Barrymore's
that is a good movie. Never mind.
Is Schwarzenegger in this one?
No.
That's
Batman and Robin. Okay.
Batman
and Robin.
That's Uma Thurman.
This is Val Kilmer, Nicole Kidman.
And I thought Val Kilmer was an underrated Batman.
He was
too.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
You should have taken this for Misunderstood. You want to hear the Rotten Tomato scores on this?
I already have my Rotten Tomato, my Misunderstood. Let's hear it.
41 and 33.
That's ridiculous.
I saw this movie.
I thought it was a fun movie.
Dublin, Ireland.
That's that's a cool little Salemi trivia.
Yeah.
Why did you go to Dublin, Ireland, and then go see Batman?
It was sold out here.
Right.
just like flight. Taylor Swift. I'll catch the next flight.
Stupid.
summer of 95, Marie was doing an internship in Germany. And for a week, we went to Great Britain. And then she was flying home. Her internship had ended in Germany. And I had planned to stay to go to Ireland. She didn't really care to go to Ireland. So I planned to stay for an additional weekend. I took a ferry over to Dublin. And
what's the
turns
Irish
out,
crowd
traveling
like?
By yourself, it ain't that much fun.
And,
Yeah.
And I thought I'd be okay because it's Ireland and they speak what I thought was English. So I thought it'd be cool. I'd just hang out in pubs, drink. And I'm an easygoing guy. I'm sure I can pal around with some people. I was lonely. So one afternoon, I went to go see Batman Forever. It was a decent, it was a good movie. It wasted a couple hours of my time. So,
That's so sad.
Sorry, I didn't mean to hijack Batman Forever.
No, that's the best we could have.
That was perfect. That was really amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you did that because it gave me time to think about what the hell I want to do.
Hey, I'm the human delay.
Well, here's a real quick. You like the Jim Carrey Riddler or the new Robert Pattinson, the Batman Riddler?
They're so different.
Ooh, yeah.
Two totally different characters.
One is campy and one is dead serious.
Not campy at all.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, how do you like your Batman to begin with?
Yeah.
Campy or serious or and Nolan. Brooding?
I like having
the difference between like the 60s Batman from the TV series versus the
Adam West.
Yeah. Or Christian Bale. Like, right. Let's compare him to Christian Bale. They're not the same. But yeah, I mean,
even what
it is very much that.
What Burton put out, I mean, the Batman movies were all pretty campy in the 80s and 90s. It's not until Christian Bale where you're like, what the hell happened to Batman?
Well,
if you don't read the comics, when did Batman get serious?
That's why Tim Burton lost the franchise.
Because of the campiness?
No.
Oh. He was too dark.
Yeah, Batman was campy. Batman Returns with Danny DeVito as Penguin.
That's a dark movie, dude. I love that movie.
Super dark that Warner Brothers was like, thanks, but you're out. And they brought in Joel Schumacher purposely to make them kid and family friendly so they could sell action figures.
And then they ruined Batman for 6 years before they let Christian Bale make
it. I like Batman Forever. I genuinely like
Batman. Oh, no, I'm talking about Batman and Robin.
That was pretty bad. But
again, Batman Forever, I think it's such a tonal shift from Batman Returns, though. Like, it is hard to like both of those movies at the same time.
Yeah.
Because they're just so different, you know? Like, and trying to think of them in the same universe just kind of breaks your brain a little bit.
Well, yeah, seeing like Michael Keaton come from the Penguin Batman and now in this role is like, what happened?
Yeah.
Who is this Batman?
And I liked Val Kilmer a lot as Batman. I didn't think he made a great Bruce Wayne, but
yeah, would have to agree.
So, you know, I referred to him as Burton because I couldn't think of his first name. That's the only Burton I could think of, and I knew it was wrong. I said Burton because I couldn't remember Burton's first
Tim,
name.
Not so Dave. Yeah.
No,
he wrote down Cliff Burton, the bassist from Metallica that died in 1986.
But I knew it wasn't him, but that's the only Burton that was in my head. I was like, I'm just going to go with Burton. I was just happy I got Burton.
Sorry, Dave.
But Cliff was in my head.
That's the only.
So thanks for throwing Tim's name in there. That helped me.
For my next pick, I'm going to take For Whom the Bell Tolls. No, this is tough. I got to be strategic here. All right. For my action thriller drama, I am going to take Get Shorty.
Good movie. Ooh. I love Get Shorty.
Could easily be a comedy.
Yeah, I have him on my comedy list.
But I did too.
It's a little bit of everything.
It can fit anywhere. Yeah.
It's crime. There's a little bit of thrill. There's some action, not really dramatic, but Elmore Leonard, the guy that Justified's based on, Jackie Brown is based on his short story.
Great writer.
Whatever. Great writer. And I think this is like one of the very first real feature adaptations of his work. Gene Hackman, Rene Russo,
Travolta,
Delroy Lindo,
Danny DeVito.
Amazing. Yeah. This is one that I skipped forever. I was like, no.
It's so good.
I finally watched it. I'm like, oh my God, this is so good.
It's also kind of funny.
Oh, it's very funny. Yeah. I had it on my 100%. Comedy.
I was saying, I could take it as comedy, but
I just erased it from my comedy list.
Same here. I think it fits under action, drama, thriller. I just had it under comedy because I thought it was, it is funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I just I go with that in that venue. But it's a really good movie.
I actually
low expectations.
Googled it to be sure. I was like, this is a comedy, but I feel like there's a action in it.
Sure.
And it said crime thriller and comedy. I was like, I'll take that.
Delroy's awesome in this.
So good.
Yeah.
Because
I really enjoy it.
Sometimes he's the bad guy. Sometimes he's not. Like when he's the cop in Gone in 60 Seconds, you're like, wait a second. That's kind of weird. Timothy Oliphant.
Yes. Timothy Oliphant's in that.
Did any of you
love Timothy?
When I bought this, or when I had this movie as a kid, it was like a double feature of this movie and Be Cool. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, do you know why?
Be Cool is the sequel.
Right.
Yeah. Be Cool is the sequel to it.
Wow. I never even pieced that together. I'm so slow.
Have you seen the movies?
Yeah, but I think I saw Be Cool first and then saw Get Shorty way later. I just never
Be Cool is like Get Shorty 2.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When did it come out?
That makes sense.
2005.
Yeah. Is it 2005?
Did you see Be Cool?
No.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Good?
Yeah. That was okay.
I watched a little
bit. It's not as good as Get Shorty.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why. Nice I think to go I forgot back,
but
a lot
there's
of
such a gap, too, because it was
yes.
10 years.
10 years, right? 95 to 2005. So there's a huge gap between them, and it didn't have the same magic to it.
The critics were really rough on it, so I never...
Be Cool?
I never decided to watch it, yeah.
Yeah.
I watched Get Shorty... recently, I don't know, within the last 5 or 6 months, and I'd forgotten how many different little plot twists and things that interweave, and it was enjoyable to watch again because in many ways I was like, I forgot basically this movie,
all
the different things going on.
Not to lionize Tarantino as much as we always do, but I think Pulp Fiction made Get Shorty a better movie. Like,
yeah.
I think that's one of those that benefited from this new wave of, oh, we're going to make movies this way.
Yeah,
and it was, really well done. It's one of the ones that didn't totally ape it, but took elements of it and it
made it its own.
Yeah, I think so.
It'd be interesting to know if Travolta, just as an actor on the set, suggested anything just from his time from doing Tarantino, where he made a suggestion and the director's like, oh, yeah, that's an interesting idea. Why don't we try doing that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and then 2 years later, Tarantino does Jackie Brown. Uh-huh. So Elmore Leonard was very much a fixture in the late 90s. Arvin, back to you.
Woo! I don't think we're going to get done on time.
Well, let's go a little quicker.
Okay.
Right.
A little quicker. Got it. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and do my Misunderstood because I have a good pick there. And I was shocked at the score that my pick here received. So my pick there is Tommy Boy.
No!
Critics
knew that was going to make somebody mad. They really, really did.
Damn.
And I do not understand that at all. So Tommy
Boy.
Bad
guy in a little coat, Richard.
Bad guy in a little coat. Great.
Is this the one where 40%. He's behind the drapes?
The bees! Get away!
Tommy goes down to the pool and he comes back into the...
mm-hmm.
Who was it, Richard? Was it Spanky?
Yeah, that is... It really is a funny movie.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. I love, like just Chris Farley playing with the ambulance in the guy's office and creating an entire... Oh, God, you're gonna die! You're on fire! Like, all of that. Just, comic gold. And I feel like I was telling this yesterday, like I feel like 95 really was a great year for comedies for a sophomore in high school. So,
oh, yeah.
Like it was, I could have picked this or Billy Madison and been very happy. And I just, when I saw that score, I just couldn't believe it because the critic score is 40%.
That's wild.
And then the audience score is 90%.
Yeah,
like it's
enjoyable.
50% difference between those two. And I couldn't agree with the audience score more. Like, I love this movie. I feel like it's also rewatchable. It's kind of tinged with sadness now because of Chris Farley, but so good.
If you're a critic, what the hell are you watching that you're... Like, it's just
what are you comparing
it to?
Have some fun.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's a fun movie. It's stupid. I'll give you it's stupid, but it's stupid fun.
Is this the one also where... Chris Farley dances and is singing "She's a Maniac" as Rob Lowe is spraying him because he's all muddy. That's a that's a hilarious scene.
Did you eat paint chips as a kid? Why?
that's a great
and it's
fun
so
scene.
Quotable. I mean, it's just it's a lot of fun.
This is literally the worst I have felt since we started doing the podcast.
Good.
I'm very sorry.
I took Get Shorty because I hated all of the other dramas, but I was like, I bet Tommy Boy will make it. and not even close.
I feel like critics just had it out for that.
I had it as a second on my list of like ranked choices. I was like, I bet it's going to go high. Like, because I really like it. How do you feel about it?
Tommy Boy? It's amazing. Right? I love Tommy
Boy. And I was pretty sure, Cash, I didn't know about you, but I was like, I'm pretty sure like it's going to be high in most of our lists. So I put it pretty high on mine.
I should have just taken it. Oh, well. That's how the draft goes.
I'm sorry.
I remember watching it finding out later on that that was Bo Derek.
Yeah.
I did not. It did not. Like, Bo Derek in my mind is still from 1980.
So hot. God, she's so hot.
Well, that's the joke. He's like, Dad, she's a 10. She's from the movie 10.
I got it after. Trust
me. See, it makes sense if you know
movies. And I'm very familiar
with
the movie 10 as a 12-year-old.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
Spanky.
But no, I really feel like critics had it out for like that whole like Rock, Sandler, Farley, Spade cast from SNL.
So
like,
I have a theory that's why Roger Ebert was as popular as he was. Because his rating system was, I'm gonna rate this movie based on what it is. I'm not gonna critique Tommy Boy the way I would critique Schindler's List.
And as you should. Like
there's a reason why Tommy Boy is gonna get 3.5 stars versus it's
right, it's not cinema. Yeah. It's funny. Like
were you entertained? Was it, you know? All right, so let me
I'm gonna go comedy. No, you know what? I'm going to do Oscar because I really want to make sure I get this movie.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
For Oscar, I'm going to go with 12 Monkeys.
No, dude, please. Why? It's my turn next.
To be honest with you, you can even say it's comedy. I'm so happy that at the last second I pivoted.
Wow.
And I pivoted because I got two comedies that I can live with one way or the other. But I really wanted to make sure. 12 Monkeys, my God, Brad
Pitt. It's such a good movie.
He is so good, and he's
and Bruce
funny.
Willis, too.
Yes. Yeah.
Dang, dude, I'm so mad. Yeah. I feel like I'm going to have to watch 12 Monkeys.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's a time travel movie.
I know, and I haven't seen it, which I don't really know why. I think like the like grungy aesthetic of it like turned me off at the time, but
it's
I don't know.
Again, also I went to the theaters to see it, and I would say 20-30 minutes in, I was thoroughly confused as to what was unfolding in front of me.
Yeah, it takes a while. It opens up as the movie goes.
I disliked it and wondered, will I stay? Am I going to sit through this? And how long will I before I just decide, okay, this is done?
The twists in that movie.
I had friends that did not, and they were like, it's stupid. Like, no. Okay, cool.
He hops back and forth quite a bit at the very beginning, and you're kind of like, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And then once he stays put for a little bit of time and they start unfolding it with Brad Pitt, and I think your first introduction is in the asylum.
Yeah.
Then it starts to find its pace.
The whole point, he's trying to go back and stop a plague from happening, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then when you find out, like the ending, the last 5 minutes of it or so, you're like,
crazy.
Holy crap. Like it.
I won't say anything because it sounds like you're going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it. I actually own it on Blu-ray. I bought it like at a Black Friday sale for like $5 probably like 8 years ago, and I still haven't even opened it.
I don't know
Brad
how you
Pitt
feel.
Is so good. And he's so good. Funny.
Yeah.
I don't think his character isn't necessarily trying to be funny, but it's funny.
I think that like the last twist of this movie is unironically one of the best twists ever. And it's like, it's so good.
Yeah. What? We can't talk about it because it really would ruin.
I can
No,
we need to keep going anyway.
Right, okay. It is so good. So good.
Littell, you got two picks.
Well, okay.
I'm so happy that I died. Right? I did that.
Like now we're in the danger zone, though, because now that Salimi's taking that. Like, Littell's just a loose cannon over here.
Okay, I'm going to take my comedy and Oscar. I'll start with comedy, and I'm going to take Friday. Because I love that movie. Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah, I mean, just a day in the life in black suburbia, and it is
that we
so,
can all relate
so
to.
Funny. Yeah, like the relationship between Ice Cube and John Witherspoon in that movie, hilarious. Was it Chris Tucker? Is that who plays?
Yeah.
Smokey.
Mm-hmm.
God, dude, I just everyone does such a good job in this movie.
Which one do you like better, Friday or Next Friday? Because I think Next Friday is funnier. I've always enjoyed Next Friday more than Friday.
I think Next Friday is funnier. I just think Friday It was, it's so original.
Yeah, it's a classic, like, yeah. I think now.
It started off that whole series.
Yeah.
And, man, Nia Long,
it was
Debo. Who plays Debo in that movie? God, I love that.
And it does change. What is his name? Tiny Lister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, he's so funny.
Tiny Lister.
It is cutting new ground. The idea that you're going to do a comedy set in inner city black neighborhood where you're just hanging out for the day.
Yeah.
And
that's it.
Some of the funny part, like,
you don't have
they
a
do
job.
Steal a little bit from Cheech and Chong, but Cheech and Chong is boring after a while.
Yeah.
They're just sitting there getting high and saying stupid stuff to one another, like Beavis and Butthead. This, like, obviously you're sitting around watching them get high from time
to time.
But
there are plot points.
Yeah. Right. And their conversations aren't just, I'm just really, really high. They're, they actually talk
about ladies.
Right.
Talk about
they're being
parents.
Funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Oscar pick.
Oscar pick. I'm torn. There's like two picks here that I don't know. Oh.
Just get Babe. You'll never regret it.
La, la, la.
I'm going to pick, because I think it has the most impact now, Dead Man Walking.
Ooh. That'll do.
Not Pocahontas.
Not Pocahontas. I was torn between Dead Man Walking or Leaving Las Vegas, but
yeah, I had that one down too. Mm-hmm.
Dead Man Walking is so brutal. Like it is emotionally hard to get through because the whole aspect of should we have a death sentence in the first place, and then you watch this man's story unfold. Is that Sean Penn?
Yes.
God, he does such a good job. And I heard he's also one of those that's really hard to work with, but. Boy, he kills. Have you guys all seen this movie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say I've seen the movie. I've seen it as a speech piece, and every time it just guts me by the end.
It's
like,
one
the
of those that was on,
it's effective.
It was on cable. It was one of those that was airing all the time.
Oh,
like when you're at home during the summer on break, Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
The Cable Guy and Dead Man Walking are ones that I remember being on all the time.
I feel like regardless of how you feel, if you are really set on having a death sentence, like as a punishment. Like corporal punishment in America, you should watch this movie at least once. Mm-hmm. And if you still agree, you agree. But like, I think it would shake almost anybody.
It gives you perspective for,
sure.
I got Susan Sarandon is amazing.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Incredible.
Did she win the Oscar for this?
I don't believe so.
No. Really?
Oh,
dang.
I can't believe she did. That scene she does where she visits the daughter's parents to talk with them.
Dude.
Yeah, that was very
realistic
as far as what you might expect from a father.
Yeah. The writing is so real. Like, it's just, these are real people.
Yeah. If anything, when that movie ended, I wasn't kind of more in favor of the death penalty.
What?
Hey, man.
Okay.
You got to pay your price. I don't know what to say.
She did win.
She did?
She did win.
Good. Good, because she's awesome. In this.
This was a deep year. You had Emma Thompson, Meryl Streep, Sharon Stone, Elizabeth Shue from Leaving Las Vegas, and Susan Sarandon won. That's a great year.
Casino.
Casino.
That other scene too, when his family comes to visits the day of his execution, that was pretty intense too. It's a really good film.
It's really good.
And crazy enough, it really is. And I don't remember the two boys who did the speech piece, but. Damn, did they do a good job. Actually, it wasn't two boys. It was a boy and a girl. Yeah. I don't remember who did it, but they were so good back in the early 2000s doing that piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Lemmy, you're up.
All right. I'm going to take my other comedy. I had two on my list, and this is why I decided to pivot, thankfully, to Oscar and take 12 Monkeys. I'm going to take the other comedy. I had four. I thought all four were great, and I'm going with Clueless.
Ah!
Dang.
Donald Faison.
I think 1995.
Donald Faison.
I think the comedies in 1995 might be better than the comedies of the 80s.
Oh, it's a great.
Like,
yeah.
All
so
those
good.
Comedies of the 80s that people talk, and you and I have talked about this before. Like, there's moments in Stripes or Ghostbusters that are funny, but they're not
maybe than
funny
Airplane.
Movies.
Like, Airplane's the only one that's like truly funny, I think.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Animal House, I know, is in 80. I think that's 70s, but even that's there's moments that are funny, but it's not a funny movie. There's a lot of funny movies in 95. And Clueless, which I had, again, maybe that's just I need to go to more movies with low expectations. Because
it's a great way to live.
Movie Trailer Friday has ruined
me. It really has. I had very low expectations for Alicia
Silverstone
in this film and what it was going to be. And God, is it funny. And they keep bringing certain jokes back through the movie, like Seinfeld-esque.
Stacey Dash was so hot in this movie.
I know that's how you're going to finish that sentence.
And Brittany Murphy, both of them. Gosh. Boy,
that is just pure film criticism right there. Yeah.
Who is 10 out of 10. Who's Alicia's dad? What's the actor's name? Because he does a great job.
So Dan Hedaya.
Dan, yeah.
Which I watched Blood Simple last night, and he's the guy. He's the guy who tries to get them killed.
Wallace Shawn is in this movie too, isn't he?
Who?
Wallace Shawn.
He's the teacher.
Yeah.
And Twink Kaplan. Miss Geist.
Rudd is in the movie.
Stepbrother.
But yeah,
he's the incest part of the movie.
When she comes down dressed to go out, he's like, go put clothes on. you're not going out like that. Very funny film.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Arvin.
Another one that really stood the test of time, too, I think.
Yeah.
Still funny. Another one.
Right. It doesn't change.
Yeah. And still prescient, I think. So... I've got action, thriller, drama, comedy, or wild card left. I think I'm going to go with my comedy here, too, just to make sure I get another one from the top of my list. So let me just stole a pretty good one from up there.
I'm good about myself.
My top one for comedy, since I already got Tommy Boy, is Billy Madison.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take that. I loved that movie as a sophomore in high school, like to the point where I probably watched it 30, 40 times on VHS.
Wow.
Yeah. I
liked it more than Happy Gilmore as a kid.
Oh, like, yeah. Like, I mean, I really liked Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that that's clear. But, but.
He will let you know.
If you're
Billy
listening
Madison.
To Adam Sandler, he liked both of them.
Absolutely, Adam. Yeah, they're both fantastic. But if I had a pick, I would go with Billy Madison. I also love, and I've just blanked on his name, guy from West Wing. He's in Cabin in the Woods.
God.
Bradley Whitford.
Whitford. He is so hilarious. Funny as the villain in this. And then their like academic decathlon at the end is priceless.
Every line from that decathlon.
Oh my God.
Jim Downey's
speech. The principal's line. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like that is amazing.
Everyone in this room.
We are all now dumber for having witnessed that. I award you no points.
And may God have mercy on your soul.
Just fantastic, right? And like three of us knew that line right there.
That's
like
crazy.
That's amazing. I love this movie. I got to take it as the comedy.
One line from that movie I say at least once a week. That's assault, brother.
Yep.
Just because it's fun to say and it makes me laugh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's cool to pee your pants.
Peeing your pants is the coolest.
It's the coolest.
If peeing your pants is cool, hey, I'm Miles Davis.
That is the grossest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Just fun. Stupid fun. But yeah.
So the whole like... weird tutoring sequence where like Chris Farley.
Oh yeah, that is
that
correct.
Is correct. 1466.
Spanish Armada. 1482. 1591.
And you got
God. Give me the answer.
Norm Macdonald and Artie Lang as the two losers.
What is he talking about?
Yeah,
Jack Nicholson now or 1974? 74. Meg Ryan.
Just a great time. And it's another one where, like, this was also on my misunderstood list because it's 40% critics and 79% audience. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't understand you, critics.
You need to watch this movie, man.
You would love it.
I've never sat through the whole thing. I've seen it. 1995. No offense to all of you. I was a little older.
Yeah, sure.
So,
yeah.
Donkey Kong sucks.
You suck.
I like Happy Gilmore way more.
I think it depends on where you were in the age, right? Sure. Like, if you were older when it came out, you're going to like Happy Gilmore.
Have you seen the scene where he shakes the kid?
I don't think so.
Billy, I can't wait till I get to high school.
Stay here as long as you can.
Don't you ever say that. Stay here as long as you can. And killer soundtrack. He's at Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
Skinnered.
So good. I mean, it's...
I've seen scenes. I've never sat through the whole
thing. Oh, man, it's
like that quote that you guys all... Like, I've seen that.
Yeah.
But some of the other stuff, I was just laughing at you guys because of how much fun you enjoy it.
Yeah,
not at
it's
you,
so fun.
Like laughing with you because of obviously all three of you love that film.
We do.
All right, I'm up. I got two picks, and I've got comedy, Misunderstood, and Wild Card. For for comedy, I'm going a Goofy movie.
Yes. I'm so happy it got picked because I was going to pick it. That movie's so good.
Are you really happy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone needed to. That movie's good.
Genuinely, not just one of the greatest Disney songs of all time, one of my all-time favorite songs ever is Eye to Eye. Powerline in that movie.
What's the other one at the beginning of the movie? Stand Out.
Yeah,
great.
Stand Out.
The whole scene with Max doing the stage production.
I was picturing the song as he's going to school.
I'm gonna sit on my butt.
Yeah.
No more gym.
Now I'm in your camp.
Yeah. You guys haven't seen this movie?
I was probably too old to be like, ooh, I'm gonna go see the Goofy movie. And
it's
genuinely, I've still never seen it. I put it on my list.
It's super funny, but also like incredibly heart touching. Like it's a heartfelt movie.
There's quite a few Goofy, like there's a Goofy Christmas movie that is similar. Like I've seen parts of this, but my kids were born 2002, 2003, and Pixar happened.
Yeah.
So then
they don't
elements,
like watching older animation, I've noticed.
I mean, it's not.
It's stupid. That's a dumb thing.
There's like, a generation where it's kind of ruined for them. Like, they're like, oh, it's old.
I get the
it's
fidelity is lower, but like, there's so much heart in these movies.
No, I don't disagree. And there are some classics that they've seen, but there's a whole list of Disney movies that are just regular animation that they've never watched for whatever reason.
I'm just saying, if you like father-son movies, like, one of the best.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
The Goofy Christmas special, it's the same thing. Like, it's a really well-done half-hour father-son connection, etc. It's actually a Goofy short. It's a movie.
Next pick, I've got Wild Card and Misunderstood. I'm just going to save Misunderstood for I don't care. I didn't get Tommy Boy. Or Goldeneye. I'm so pissed.
Sorry.
Wild card, I'm going to take Angus.
Oh, I love that soundtrack. That soundtrack's fantastic.
Such a great soundtrack. Such a quotable movie. James Vanderbeek in the villain role of the 90s.
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates is the mom. Yeah. George C. Scott's the grandpa.
Yeah, good cast.
Ariana Richards from Jurassic Park. She's the love foil. Melissa Lefevre.
Good little coming of age
Kieran
movie.
Kieran McCalkin, right? Or am I thinking
is
wrong?
It?
No.
He's not in this at all?
No.
My fault. Thinking of a different movie.
The Shermanator from American Pie.
Yeah.
Chris Owen. He's the scrawny little friend.
Yeah, he's Troy.
And Charlie Talbert is the big Angus. He's Angus.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely love this movie.
I do too.
For some reason, we rented it, I think. And I think that might be why theaters took a hit in the 90s, just a little.
Oh, renting?
Because Blockbuster was so huge that it was probably cheaper for a family to do that than to go to
Family Video and all them.
Yeah, maybe.
I would think. But I was actually going to take this as my Misunderstood because I feel like it's so not well known. But it's got a 67%. I was pleased to find that out.
That's awesome. Let's go,
Pete. Yeah, it's higher than I thought. I thought it was going to be rotten. But if I can't,
it'd be hard to watch that movie and not feel good to some degree when the movie's
it's
over.
It's a coming of age movie. Like,
right,
feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Heartwarming.
You talk about we talked about like Nurse Ratched, and you know you hate Marcia Gay Harden.
Yeah.
Oh,
James Vanderbeek as the jock bully in this is
hateable,
dude. So like when he pushes him,
especially as a kid,
I'm never gonna be like you. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Arvin, back to
you.
Good
choice.
Action thriller drama and wild card left.
All right. Let's see here. So I think I'm gonna do action thriller drama. This one was not high up on my list and nobody took it, so it's there. And yet it was right on the cusp of being a blockbuster. So I'm going to take Crimson Tide.
There it is.
Ooh, yes.
I'm surprised it lasted this long.
I was like, okay, well, maybe you guys don't like it as much as I do. So great. This is great for me. It's Denzel Washington and Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
Which I think is all you need to say. They're stuck on a submarine. One of them's the captain, one of them's a commander, and there's a little mutiny. And
Kane mutiny on the submarine.
Yeah. On a nuclear missile submarine.
Yeah.
And it's like the tension is high. I'm a sucker for The Hunt for Red October is one of my favorite movies.
I was just about to mention it. So
Crimson Tide was like right up there. This was one of those where I was like, this is probably not a movie for me at 15. And yet I was very excited to go watch this too, just like Apollo 13. Crimson Tide. Just love that movie. Like it does.
It's kind of like a 12 Angry Men kind of setting. Right?
It really does, right? And you have kind of like people picking sides with like these two like gravitational forces on the submarine.
Yeah.
Like people that back up Hackman, people that back up Denzel. And it's like, oh, like it just builds the tension through the entire thing. until like the ending of the movie is fantastic, I think. Like, it's just really, really well done the entire time. And so I think this might be one of the first movies that's like a true thriller that I enjoyed in my like coming of age story, you know, that kind of thing. So I love this movie.
So Lemmy, Misunderstood and Wild Card.
Okay, I'm going to take Misunderstood, and there are literally four movies that I could have used up for different areas other than Oscar or Blockbuster, I guess, because none of them really hit big.
That's two of the six, all right.
but, like, four movies that I think are really, really good. Just Cause, Empire Records, Forget Paris, Things to Do in Denver When You Are Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And they all got horrible scores on Rotten Tomatoes. So I think I'm going to go with Just Cause, which got 26%. Sean Connery, Lawrence Fishburne, Ed Harris, and the idea that it's not just those three people involved in a movie.
Yeah.
And there is a death penalty movie.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And Ed Harris deserves to die. There, this,
you hear that, Ed Harris?
Yeah. We're coming for you.
Because that's how well you did the character. I thought you were a really bad dude. So
don't walk it back.
If you do ever listen to this, please come on board. There is a scene when Sean Connery and Ed Harris are in the interrogation room or in the prison visiting room, and Ed Harris just loses his mind because I don't want to give anything away. Ed Harris has set Sean Connery up to find some. Have you guys seen this movie?
Uh-huh. I haven't.
I didn't so like it that much, it.
Okay.
But I have don't seen it.
So Ed Harris set Sean Connery up for something, and he wants Sean Connery to – he's waiting for the moment for Sean Connery to deliver the news that Ed Harris already knows. And he won't do it. And instead, he says something else to him, and he just loses his mind. It is what, like, Ed Harris is in this movie minimally, but every scene he steals. And it's so good, the film itself.
Littell, two picks, Misunderstood and Wild Card.
please don't ruin my day.
Okay. For Misunderstood, I'm just going to go ahead and take Mortal Kombat. Because, man, I just, it's such a fun, stupid movie, and I don't get why people hate on it, because it's so dumb, and it's supposed to be, like, the lore is crazy, it makes no sense, like, has minimal development plot-wise.
Are we getting another paper
rip? The fights are so funny and good, like, I just thought it was a really fun movie. Plus, like, the games were so big, and, like, obviously those came out more during, like, your high school, college time than me.
I think that's probably why Arvin wanted it.
But, you know, like playing them, like, I mean, I did play them a lot as a kid. My mom, of all people, was super into Mortal Kombat and, like, bought us all the games growing up. And, like, I loved it. I've seen every Mortal Kombat movie. It's like, they're all stupid. I really don't like the new Scorpion Sub-Zero movie, but because I thought it was like too serious. I don't know. Like, just stop. Don't be so serious. It needs to be stupid.
Not everything needs to be the Dark Knight.
Yeah. I love the camp is the best part about Mortal Kombat. Right. So,
mm-hmm. All right. Wild card.
I'd be shook if any of you have seen this movie, but I'm going to pick it just because I personally love it and I'm a sap for a good romance. That is The Bridges of Madison County. I love this movie.
Meryl Streep. Two heavyweights.
Yeah. Have you guys seen it?
No, I've not. I know it.
I don't like
got
Meryl
nothing
Street.
But
I don't like Clint Eastwood.
Oh.
I think Clint Eastwood as a director is horrible, so.
Yeah, same.
Make a movie.
I'm impressed you know. That's great.
Only because some of the best movies I've seen him in, they're also, oh, by the way, he directed it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're like, oh, he managed not to ruin Unforgiven. Great.
I watched that over the weekend. Yeah. Unforgiven, yeah.
Oh, I love Unforgiven.
It's a good movie.
Bridges Meryl Streep, doesn't she get the Oscar?
She got a nod, I think.
Right. This is her Oscar nomination, right?
Yep.
Like, it got really, really good reviews. I just never got around to watching it.
It's very good. Not unrequited. They have, like, a really intense, brief romance, like, her and this other dude while her husband is out of town. And, like, the whole point is, like, the movie starts with she's dead and they're figuring out what they're going to do with her body. And
Meryl Streep's dead?
Yes. Okay. And she chooses to have her ashes spread by this covered bridge instead of being buried next to her husband. And it's like, why? And then you learn the whole story. Excellent.
All right.
Great.
Maybe I'll watch.
Great soundtrack, too. Phenomenal.
Good. So, Lemmy, wild card. Come on, Brady Bunch movie.
Not going to
look
happen.
What you did to my list.
I'm going to go with an odd film.
That's what makes a wild card.
Yeah. I'm going to go with To Die For.
Oh, wow. Oh, Nicole Kidman.
Nice.
Joaquin Phoenix plays such a creepy teenage kid. And his buddy is Casey Affleck, who's also kind of weird.
I'm shocked you're taking this.
The movie is good. Matt Dillon, I feel bad for throughout the film. I'm like, you do know your wife is like psychotic, right? And obviously
sometimes
cheating
they're hot,
on you.
Sometimes they're hot enough, man. You'll put up with
you
it.
You just got to take the wins with the losses there.
To die, and I do, I mean.
Take the wins with the losses there. There's some good advice.
Yeah. And the girl, the actress who plays Matt Dillon's wife, who hates Nicole Kidman, she's in a variety of films. She was in Cape Fear as well. She's the lawyer who got abused by De Niro in that film. Anyway.
Your recall and lack of name recognition is just amazing. You remember every scene of every movie.
Yeah, but I except can't remember their names. But you're memorable.
Ileana Douglas?
Yeah, but I don't like.
That was Scorsese's girl for a while.
Oh, really?
Live-in girlfriend.
I'm telling.
Oh, okay.
After Rossellini.
But yeah, anyway. To Die For. How many of you have seen it?
No, I have not.
And it's based on a true story, which
is
yes. That makes it even.
This is like, the one where she like rigs the lottery or something?
No.
No?
This is when she hires two teenage boys to kill her husband because she thinks her husband is standing in the way of her reaching stardom as a news person.
Yeah.
And by news person, weather
funny.
Girl.
Yeah.
Like, it's based on a true story. She is completely delusional and she went in for career day or something like that in the high school, and Joaquin Phoenix is fixated on her. It's worth watching. It is so
put that on my
you
list.
Can almost put it down for comedy because there are elements of it that are comedic, even though they're not really trying to be comedic. And bonus, Casey Affleck is in it. I like Casey, Affleck, and he's just he's like his buddy, and they're both goofy as hell, just goofy high school kids.
Arvin, wild card.
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Boom.
I love
it. There we go.
Second best Die Hard movie.
True.
Samuel L. Jackson's fantastic in it.
Two heavyweights back to back really late in this draft. Crimson Tide and Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I feel pretty good about it.
Big
actors. Especially since Littell stole the movie that I went and saw five times in a theater first time.
Mortal Kombat?
I've never done that with Mortal Kombat. So.
You went fun movie. You paid five times to watch that?
Five times. Yes.
Oh my. Yes.
I played the original Mortal Kombat in an arcade, Littell. In an arcade.
I have played it in an arcade.
Well, that's neat for you.
I've played Mortal Kombat, but wow.
Yeah.
Five times.
I really enjoyed it. I loved the soundtrack. I loved all that stuff.
The soundtrack is really good in that movie.
It's like, I loved it a lot. And it's just one of those places where it just has a spot in my heart there.
So this will give you an idea of where we were, the different time frames of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
If I had tried to get Marie to go to Mortal Kombat five times.
Oh, I wasn't worried about
no
that girl.
There's no way we break up. Like, there is no Luciano Crescenzio and Isabel right now. I'm fairly confident it would have changed her view of me if I would have said, let's go see Mortal Kombat once, let alone
it was
five
this
times.
And
two
then
times,
Blade. Like, I watched that a bunch of times in
what
the theater.
Was it? I'm
like,
sorry.
Mortal Kombat and Blade are the first two where I saw them in theaters
Blade.
Like multiple times. So,
I think we saw
but again, 15 years old.
Right.
Was not worried about taking a girl.
Yeah, no,
I think
No. I get it.
I think I did take my first girlfriend to Mortal Kombat, and we did break up pretty shortly after that. So, but I feel that was a good thing. So it was fine.
Right.
It worked out. And anyways, Die Hard's great.
You wouldn't have had Isabella. I haven't
Isabella. I said that. I was doing the full Christian names for everybody.
You'd have what, Jenny Jr.?
Yeah, hopefully, I guess that would be the backup
JJ.
Plan.
And that's how I married a woman named Karen.
Misunderstood is my last one. A couple of movies I'm surprised never got drafted. Bad Boys didn't get drafted.
Yeah,
it's on my list. Braveheart, I think, is the first Best Picture that didn't get drafted.
Uh-huh. I don't like that movie a lot.
I would have picked it before I went to Scotland, and then I realized how much the Scottish people hate it, and I was like, oh. Yeah. And looked into it just a little bit and was like, oh.
Yeah.
So I like it way less now, but if this draft had been 6 months ago.
Rob Roy?
Rob Roy.
Liam Neeson, Gina Davis.
I like that more than I like Braveheart.
Yeah.
And it's Rob Roy's good. Similar-esque.
Yeah.
And that one that got, like, it was a huge box office bomb. Critics hated
Rob?
It.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Roy.
Yeah. I thought it was fun. It's got dope. It's an actor that you and I really like, and he plays a bad guy, a very effeminate swordsman. He plays
Christopher Lee.
No, but thank you for playing. Oh, God.
What else is he in? This is fun.
Benito Mussolini.
He was in the bellhop movie where it's like four rooms in a bellhop. Tim Roth.
Oh, he's a good man.
Isn't that the movie he's in?
He is a good
man. You like Tim Roth, don't you?
I love Tim Roth.
Am I wrong? Okay.
I'm surprised you didn't have that name ready to go.
I am too. But I've kind of lost it, to be honest with you. So I don't know what to say. But I can't remember Tim Roth's name. I really am down a bad path. So what are you going with? I'm sorry.
And Copycat didn't get drafted.
That's on my list.
That's Pocahontas undrafted still.
Yeah.
Not for long.
Well, I can't take it as misunderstood.
Leaving Las Vegas is still on the table.
I can't believe the American president didn't get taken. I love that movie too. Mm.
I could take Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I thought about it. That was going to be my misunderstood. But.
I'm just going to do it. Misunderstood, yeah. Totally rotten score, super dumb, don't care.
It's awesome.
Ace Ventura When Nature Calls.
Yes! The rhino birthing scene.
Like a glove.
That is one of the grossest things still that I've ever seen in a movie.
The rhino?
Oh, yeah. That offended my parents so much.
Oh, yeah. As a Catholic,
there were times where I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and put this VHS in there.
My brother Mark can recite word for word both Ace Ventura movies.
Wow.
Like from beginning to end, he can literally say it, cite it from memory.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Watched it so many times growing up.
What a horrible gift to be blessed with.
Yeah, that's the one thing.
21% critic reviews and then 72% on the audience.
Which I think that's low
that's
for
huge,
audience.
Huge, huge swing.
It is.
What was it? I'm sorry.
21% was the critic score and then 72% positive was the audience score.
Yeah. If you're a critic, I'm really not sure when you're watching that film, what you're basing it on.
It actually has
like,
a slightly higher swing.
There's got to be some sort of slide scaling.
Yeah,
and something like that, I think.
I think this draft has the best group of soundtracks we all ever had.
Oh,
I think it's also the best movie poster. Like our dorm rooms would look.
These were some great posters. Yeah,
I'm surprised that no one picked not just Braveheart. No one picked Casino either.
Yeah. I thought for sure you were going to.
He
pick
doesn't
Casino.
Like Casino.
No, I do. I
no,
just,
you don't.
I do like Casino. I just don't think it's that good.
Really? Show it to me on your list then.
Yeah, I have it here just in case. But you know, it's below Rob.
You do? I genuinely don't care for Casino, honestly.
Oh, I love that movie.
I think it's good. I just think it's
fine.
Nothing, right. It's like a good half hour longer than it needs to
be. That's 100%.
It is too long.
100% true.
My God, take the bats early. Take them out to the cornfield and let's beat them and put them in the ground and let's wrap this up.
Yeah, whoever edited that movie.
Mm. Yeah, you wasted Don Wrinkles. He doesn't really do much in the... Mm-hmm.
Rickles.
Don Wrinkles.
You're telling me a Scorsese movie was 30 minutes too long? I'm shocked.
No.
Hey, no.
He doesn't do that all the time.
His movies make me comatose.
Did anyone have Dolores Claiborne on their list for anything?
Nope.
Nah.
I did not.
So I'm the only one who liked it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just prefer Misery.
I've not seen it.
Misery's good.
Misery's
You've never
amazing.
Seen it?
I've not seen it.
I can't say... If you like it or not, to be honest with you.
I missed a lot of movies because, I mean, this is kind of right at that time frame where it's like...
when you're watching Mortal Kombat.
If I saw it, I went and saw it five times. But if, you know... Exactly.
Have so much money
it's
to
Dolores
spend.
Claiborne or the Bridges of Madison County, pass. You know, so...
Agreed.
Yeah.
Dude, that movie is so good. You guys would like that movie.
The Bridges of Madison
it's
County.
It's so well done.
I feel like we're on NPR now.
All right. So just before we wrap this up, let's do this from now on. So you're one... recommendation for all of us who haven't seen the movie would be Bridges of Madison County.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people haven't seen it. It's really good.
Or Dead Man Walking.
Do you have a
Dead
recommendation?
Out of my list.
It doesn't have to be something that you pick, but a movie that even if you didn't pick it, like, I would recommend seeing this if you never saw it.
Ooh. Man. I think I'd go with The American President. I just love, like, the writing in that is just so good.
Okay.
So, Sorkin. So, that's Sorkin's who I would go really with there.
Right.
I couldn't quite find a place on my list to put it, but I would say, like, I just really like that movie, and it also, it's Election Day while we're recording this, so it feels, like, even extra prescient to, like, oh, that was a scandal? Oh, cute.
Yours?
Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Andy Garcia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy the Gent, or Jimmy, I wrote it down, Jimmy the Saint is his name in the
Jimmy film. The Wrench.
Jimmy the Wrench.
And you?
Angus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a Get good Shorty, one. Too, but Angus is very under the radar. Love that
yeah,
movie.
I don't think a lot of people have seen that film, yeah. And it is good.
All right, boys, good job.
Thanks.
Let's go to a meeting. Woo.
Ticket Studs out.
Woo. Love you.